content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Demi Arsenault from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Winter 2020 issue of Lion Magazine. And we'll start today with our In the News department, beginning with Lion Clubs now prominently featured in Trudeau Family Home and Prime Minister Office. When Sophie Gregoire Trudeau, wife of the Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, spoke at the Lions of Canada New Voices Symposium in Ottawa in May of 2019, Lions had expected the Prime Minister to attend as well. He was unable to make it and therefore unable to receive the peace plaque the Lions had prepared to present him. Lions presented Madame Trudeau with one of her own as a thank you for speaking at their symposium. However, the Lions had a second chance when, in October, the Prime Minister and his wife visited St. Therese, where PDG and New Voices leader Nicole LePage lives. The Member of Parliament representing her district arranged for LePage to present the plaque to Trudeau, who was surprised when he saw it. He said there was one just like it hanging in their foyer already at their home. "I said, that was for your wife. This one is for you," says LePage. The Prime Minister then said he would be very happy to hang it in his Prime Minister office. Madame Trudeau was very impressed with the Lions and deeply touched with our peace poster program, says LePage. Next, Lions recognized as partners with Mobility Worldwide in serving the world's leg disabled. Lions Clubs International was recognized for its role as a major distribution partner in Mobility Worldwide in serving the needs of the leg handicapped of the world as the organization celebrated its 25th anniversary at its annual meeting in Austin, Texas on September 26th through 28th, 2019. Founded in 1994, Mobility Worldwide, formerly known as the PET Project, has built and distributed 80,000 sturdy, hand-cranked, three-wheeled carts built to industrial specifications for those who lack mobility due to landmine injury, birth defects, amputation, polio, and other causes. These 80,000 carts have been built and delivered free to those in need in 104 countries. Lions have served as a major distribution partner since 2009, delivering more than 4,000 carts in Africa, India, Southeast Asia, and Central America. Lion volunteers are very active in the work of Mobility Worldwide in Texas, Maine, and Alaska. Texas Lions are major financial supporters and volunteer their service for affiliates in San Antonio, Austin, and College Station. The mobility carts have been a fixture in the Great Parade of Nations at the Lions International Conventions since 2006. And next, we're going to go over to our Global Service Department, to Germany, with an article titled Super Kids. Lions in Germany believe life should have as many magical moments as possible. Those moments can help keep courage up and hope alive in difficult times. And that's exactly what the Braunschweig Lions Club wanted to do for a total of 9 children at the Braunschweig Pediatric Center Ward, also known as K5. They launched the project Our Superheroes based on an idea by the Italian photographer and visual artist Josh Rossi. Rossi and his wife partnered with a costume designer to create movie-accurate Justice League costumes for children with diseases or disabilities. Their alter egos were specifically chosen to highlight each child's unique ability. The idea was to showcase their inner strength in a way that would bring a smile to their faces, as well as others struggling with similar issues, says Rossi. The video about the project impressed me so much that it was clear to me that we had to implement the action in Braunschweig, says Lion Michael Schwartz. They hired a photographer, videographer, and makeup artist and scheduled a full day to transform each child into their favorite superhero. Once photographed, the images were edited, special effects were added, and the results were printed on 60 by 90 centimeter canvases. The canvases were presented to 7 of the 9 children at a special ceremony, after which Lyons surprised the crowd with an appearance by the Braunschweig Fire Department. If so many superheroes are present, then the fire brigade cannot be missing, says Braunschweig Lyons, Daniel Steinke, and Detlef Olms. The Lyons then invited the superheroes and their families, treating physicians, and everyone involved in the project to take a ride in a private plane for a sightseeing flight over Braunschweig. I cannot express my gratitude, says Schwartz. Everybody was heartfelt and gave everything to give these children a magical moment. Next, from the United States, connecting the dots. In Tennessee, a Norris Lyons service project to make the walk to school a little nicer for elementary students turned into a joint project with the children and a celebration of art. It all began with the Norris Lyons project to spruce up a tunnel in the town that connects the elementary school to the commons area. Many students used the tunnel to walk home after school, but the interior paint was peeling and it needed cleaning. Lyons offered to clean and paint the tunnel as a service to the city. Lyons Robert Ulino and Mike Robinson organized club members to power wash the inside. That led to the suggestion that a mural be painted inside the tunnel with an artist rendition approved by the city. With the help of artist Lion Murray Grazer, the ceiling of the tunnel soon became a blue sky with puffy white clouds. His plan for the rest of the mural showed the mountains of East Tennessee where they live. Elementary teacher Allison Greenhouse suggested they involve the students as a way to celebrate International Dot Day. International Dot Day was inspired by a children's story, The Dot, by Peter H. Reynolds. It tells of a young girl who was sure that she had no artistic ability until her teacher convinced her to make her mark by just dipping a finger in paint and making a dot on a piece of paper. When the girl came to school the next day, she found that her picture was framed and hanging in the classroom. After that, she had the confidence to create more art. Greenhouse suggested the children could make their own colorful dots to be incorporated into the finished painting. The details of the mural could be done by the local middle and high school students under the direction of their art teachers. So on Friday, September 13th, a large group of volunteers came to direct the children in the project. Norris Lyons set up containers of paint in various colors, as well as buckets of water for hand washing. 240 students lined up to take turns making their dots and then signed an album to be displayed at their school. The album includes not only photos of the event, but also the name and dot of each student who participated. And now we're going to move to one of our feature articles titled Pride in the Valley. Joyce Bergshoff is a fast talker. Open and warm, the 48-year-old nurse and mother of three gushes the way proud mothers often do when describing their children. Growing up, her eldest child was, quote, brilliant, very outgoing, a concert cellist. It is the present tense that's trickier. Sometimes Bergshoff forgets and uses she when talking about Elizabeth, who is transgender and prefers the pronoun they. Now she worries about how much stress her child is under. She looks good on paper, but she feels like crap, says Bergshoff. Elizabeth's transition has been difficult for the entire family. Bergshoff, who peppers her language with dang and my goodness, describes herself and her husband as very conservative people. Before Elizabeth came out, Bergshoff was often confused when she saw members of the transgender community depicted on television. You're like, what is going on? She says. She felt just as lost when Elizabeth came out 3 years ago. At first, when they joined the Rainbow Dorm at the University of California, Davis Bergshoff thought maybe they were gay. I don't know, she says, adding almost apologetically, I didn't know. Then she found out it was a little more than that. She speaks rapidly, as if trying to hurry over the more painful parts. So they came out to us as transgender, which was a huge surprise, says Bergshoff. The way Elizabeth came out was with a suicide attempt. At the time, Bergshoff said she had no idea why Elizabeth had tried to harm herself. All she was thinking about was trying to rescue her child, who was in a hospital in Davis, 230 miles north of Visalia, where Bergshoff lives, in California's very conservative Central Valley. Later, she learned that Elizabeth attempted suicide because they were scared their parents wouldn't want them. Panicked and lost, Bergshoff reached out to her best friend, Shelley Reese. It was Reese who introduced Bergshoff to the Visalia Pride Lions Club. Reese's aunt, Diana Campo, and her aunt's wife, Sherry Provancha, are both club members. The club told Bergshoff about the Source LGBT Plus Center, a Visalia nonprofit serving the LGBTQ community. But after one visit, Elizabeth didn't feel like they fit in there. Roberta Bobby Jo Mendez is a 63-year-old woman who lived the majority of her life as a man. She is now the president of the Visalia Pride Lions Club. She's not exactly the type of person Bergshoff expected to find in a Lions Club. "I thought it was just a bunch of old dudes getting together," says Bergshoff. "But it's not, in this club anyway." Mendez adds with a laugh, "We're still old." She punctuates most of her statements with laughter, especially those about herself. Bergshoff calls her a kindred spirit. The two share the same open and warm attitude. They also both switch effortlessly between humor and pain. There is an understanding between them that comes from a shared experience. That experience is the transition. While it wasn't Bergshoff herself who was transgender, when someone transitions, their family transitions as well, says Mendez. Before coming out 7 years ago and transitioning 3 years ago, Mendez was a husband and father. Her wife, Yolanda Lee Mendez, not only stayed with Mendez, they have been married 33 years, she also became a Lion 2 years ago. It's hard to tell which accomplishment Mendez is more proud of. While things are easier now, Mendez says transitioning was incredibly difficult, like a second adolescence. "It's very raw," says Mendez. "You become 12 years old again because all your social norms just dropped, and you have to reevaluate everything that you do, how you are perceived, how you feel that you should be perceived." It is this phase that Elizabeth is still trying to work their way out of. Bergshoff refers to all the back and forth, the trying out of different names, the constant questioning and uncertainty as rubber banding. She talks about watching her eldest child, a former concert cellist who took calculus and linear algebra while still in high school, struggle to find a sense of belonging. "The process has turned Bergshoff upside down," she says, forcing her to undergo a cultural shift, a kind of a transition of her own. "I just ended up coming back." Mendez understands Bergshoff's struggle as well. They both once belonged to the same Mormon religion, which considers acting on homosexual urges a sin, having them is not, and elective sex reassignment surgery, possible cause for discipline. Bergshoff still belongs to the church. Mendez does not. Mendez grew up in the nearby town of Hanford and still lives there. Over the years, she tried leaving the Central Valley on several occasions. She joined the Army. She moved to Florida to start a restaurant. "Every opportunity, I tried to get away," she says, "but I just ended up coming back." One of the reasons she came back was family. It's the same reason fellow Lion Diana Campo returned, despite having left at the first chance she could at 18 when she joined the Army. Campo knew that she was a lesbian, and she also knew that that wasn't something you wanted to be in the 1970s in Visalia. "It was a very rigid community," says Campo, who is 64, short, athletic, and a straight talker. "There was nothing here. Not only nothing here, nobody here that I could relate to." In her 20 years in the Army, working in communications, Campo lived in a number of different states and three foreign countries. But after she retired in 2011, she returned to Visalia with her wife, Sherry Provancha, for the same reason Mendez did, family. A retired Army colonel, Provancha was worried about moving to the Central Valley. "If you're not into farming and that type of stuff, you're an outsider," says Provancha, now 57. They really don't support diversity in this area. They haven't. And yet, it is here, in this city of 130,000, that the second Lions Pride Club was founded a decade ago. Campo and Provancha joined soon after moving to town. I didn't want to come anywhere where I had had to live in silence, Provancha says. And I haven't had to, and I think it's because of being a Lion. Mendez's path to the club and her own identity was a little bumpier. Over the years, Mendez worked different jobs, mainly in food service, raised two sons, and got into some trouble as a, quote, very outward, boisterous, loud, obnoxious male. She is still loud, she says, but a lot nicer. The change came after she transitioned and no longer had to hide who she really is by being hypermasculine. Just like Diana Campo, I came from a very steadfast Hispanic family, she says. In the world Mendez grew up in, men ran the household and had certain standards and duties they had to keep. It just seemed like no matter how hard I tried, I never was good enough, says Mendez. So I said, okay, I'll be over the top with it. When she began to transition, she was full of self-doubt, questioning everything she did. Is this the way a woman stands? Is this how a woman walks? She felt like she was constantly being measured. Was she trans enough? Was she woman enough? It was after she came out, before she transitioned, that she started searching for the LGBTQ community. The Visalia Pride Lions Club was one of the first organizations she found. For years, Mendez and her wife had volunteered with an organization that serves those infected with or affected by HIV/AIDS. Through the Visalia Lions Pride Club, Mendez felt she could continue serving the community while also learning more about the LGBTQ community and figuring out where she fit into it. In June of 2018, she took over as president of the club. I'm not the first transgender president, she explains. That distinction belongs to the Fresno Pride's inaugural president. I think I'm just the loudest one. While her close friends advocate for the transgender community by traveling the national and international speaking circuit, Mendez has never wanted to join them on stage. That's just not me. It's just not my style. I can't do that, she says. So I've been trying to figure out a way I can be a voice, yet not stand up and have to be a voice. By being a Lion and helping out on project with Lions from other clubs, Mendez is able to educate people simply by being herself. As they accept her as a Lion, she says, all those misconceptions and stereotypes, all the bad things that people try to make up or try to conjure to put us down, to make us hide, they find the fallacy in those. And that, she adds, is better than any soapbox. She may do the most service, though, not by educating those unfamiliar with LGBTQ issues, but by helping those like Elizabeth who are struggling to find their place. Where Mendez and Berghoff's words tumble out, Elizabeth weighs their words carefully, speaking with an almost academic distance. Before coming out, Elizabeth had worried about how people would react. They had heard about people who had come out to their families and had had, quote, less than positive reactions. The response from Elizabeth's parents was not rejection, but to Elizabeth it still felt inadequate. I think they thought I was amusing. They just didn't really take me seriously, says Elizabeth. I just didn't feel like I was really heard. Before the suicide attempt, Elizabeth had been studying molecular biology and taking a number of music classes at UC Davis. After stays in several hospitals to recover, Elizabeth tried to stay in Davis, but things became too difficult. Elizabeth decided to leave school and move back to home to Visalia. They tried to reach out to friends in the area, but it was difficult. A lot of my friends have moved away, they say, and the friends that are remaining have been difficult to connect with. There is a long silence before Elizabeth adds, I'm not really sure what I do wrong, but I tend to get excluded. Though they have friends online and who they play action games with, it isn't the same as face-to-face interactions. Desperate to help her child, shortly after returning to Visalia, Berghoff accompanied Elizabeth to their first Lions meeting. Elizabeth still remembers the location, a Marie Callender's restaurant. It was just like, boom, we met Bobby Joe, and Elizabeth doesn't feel alone, says Bergsoff. She's just been really something, says Elizabeth. Just greeting someone with a smile, letting them know about different events that are occurring in the community, letting them know they're always welcome. That makes a huge difference. After meeting with Elizabeth, Mendez took them under her wing. She drove Elizabeth to a monthly dinner held by members of the transgender community in nearby Fresno and invited her to participate in Equinox, an annual event that Mendez created for transgender individuals to practice hairstyles, names, and new identities in a safe environment. The event, now in its third year, is continually evolving. The Equinox Elizabeth took part in included a fashion show for which Elizabeth served as a model. I can't remember exactly what I wore, but it was a lot of fun, says Elizabeth. I strutted out there, did a twirl. As if for emphasis, Elizabeth adds once again, it was a lot of fun. Mendez is able to mentor Elizabeth partly because she understands the particular pain of becoming a new person in a place that is so steeped in traditional norms. Although Mendez laughs more easily and often than Elizabeth, her pain still surfaces now and then. She drives a black Pontiac with a personalized license plate starting with Baba to remind her of how she has always been the black sheep of her family and her continued estrangement from them. It's like Elizabeth went through her crisis, and I went through one as well, says Mendez. She punctuates her words this time not with a laugh, but with tears. Some of us pull through, she says, and with great people like this supporting her, Elizabeth will do fine. And now we're going to move to an LCIF Impact article titled Clearing Clouded Vision in Vanuatu. Clarence has battled diabetes since she was a baby. Unable to afford medical care, she developed cataracts, which seriously impaired her vision. She lives in the gorgeous archipelago nation of Vanuatu, home to lush rainforests, soft sand beaches, and surrounded by turquoise water. However, the 23-year-old woman could no longer see its beauty. In Clarence's area of Vanuatu, healthcare resources are often unavailable or unaffordable. Without a diagnosis for many years, something that is all too often the case in Vanuatu, diabetes took a toll on Clarence's body. She suffered through a series of infections, which led to having her toes amputated. Mobility is now difficult, although a wheelchair helps her get around. Lions of New Caledonia knew they could improve the situation in Vanuatu with support from Lions Clubs International Foundation, also known as LCIF. In collaboration with Fred Hollows Foundation in New Zealand, Lions of New Caledonia secured a $330,043 U.S. dollar LCIF Site First grant to expand and enhance cataract screening and surgery services in Port Vila, the capital of Vanuatu and Clarence's hometown. At an existing eye clinic, the grant made it possible to update old equipment and build a new operating theater. In addition, Dr. Johnson Casso is the new permanent ophthalmologist there at the clinic. Prior to Dr. Casso, Port Vila did not have an ophthalmologist, and operations could only be performed once per year when a team from Fiji visited. Having a permanent doctor in the area came as an enormous relief to Clarence, who had her cataract removal operation postponed four times due to battling repeated infection. When the new operating theater opened, Clarence was the first patient to receive an operation. She even sang at the inauguration. After the surgery, Dr. Casso checked Clarence's vision and asked if she could see clearly. Clarence had a smile on her face she couldn't hide. She shouted, "I kiln, I pitum kiln," meaning more than clear in her native language. It was a significant and memorable moment for Clarence, Dr. Casso, and the clinic's nurses. Clarence says she is happy tumas, which means very happy, to receive the surgery. What once was dark, cloudy, and blurry became bright, crisp, and clear. To learn how projects like this receive LCIF funding and how you can contribute through Campaign 100, you can visit lionsclubs.org/campaign100. And again, that website is lionsclubs.org/campaign100. And last but not least, I think we have time for a few pieces from club news, beginning with Missouri. In Missouri, the Smithville Lions enjoyed a presentation by member Cliff Amos at the Kansas City Zoo. Amos is a master naturalist who traveled to Uganda. Five Lions clubs in California got together to host the 11th annual Lions Clubs Golf Tournament in September, raising funds for three charities that provide assistance for those who with impaired sight or blindness. Banning Centennial Lions, Cala Mesa Breakfast Lions, Grand Terrace Lions, Highland Lions, and Yucaipa Valley Lions developed this year's event. Net proceeds of $15,311 were split between Guide Dogs of the Desert, Kids Sight USA, and California Lions Friends in Sight. The Salisbury Lions in New Brunswick, Canada, recognized members Ross Alexander and Sydney Douthright, who received the Melvin Jones Award. In Pennsylvania, the Tunkhannocks Lions, with the help of a Lions Quest grant, funded materials for the Lions Quest program focusing on social and emotional learning in grades K through 6 at the Tunkhannock Area School District. The Weidman Lions in Michigan honored members Carlos Grises, Richard Donnelly, and Ted Bailey as they received the Melvin Jones Fellowship Award. In Maryland, the Leonardtown Lions celebrated the 95th birthday of Lion George Guy, who has had perfect attendance at Lions meetings for 70 years. In Ontario, Canada, the Thorndale Lions Club continues offering Lions Club's friendship arches to other clubs. The 6-foot, 300-pound arches stand as a symbol of friendship and commitment between Lions and their community. In Minnesota, the Burnsville Lions Club assisted with their town's annual international festival, celebrating the many cultures that make up their global community. In Texas, the Brazoria Lions Club was visited by Erin Heath, who came to thank members for sponsoring her in this year's Lions Diabetic Camp. Because of the camp, she said, she no longer feels like she is fighting diabetes alone. And last but not least, the Doylestown Lions Club in Pennsylvania is planning a dinner to celebrate their 75th anniversary in spring of 2020. The club began with 20 members in 1945, and by the 1970s had grown to 150 active members. And we have run out of time for today's episode of Lion Magazine. Be sure to tune in next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Demi Arsenault for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for those who are print and visually impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any questions or comments, please call us 919-832-5138. And again, 919-832-5138.